Well, it's pretty cool. I'm going to be the boss for 10 weeks. How awesome. Yeah, so let me know what you want. See what I can do. Oh, that's funny. Yes. All right. Today, I'm going to preach a message that I've entitled, Bless is Your Calling. Bless is Your Calling. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you do for us, seen and unseen. God, we thank you that we are your children and you love us, you're for us, you're not against us. And God, I pray that you would illuminate through the scriptures today, Lord, how we can be more like you. Lord, how you can overflow, how your blessing can overflow in us and through us in Jesus' name. Lord, that the world would be impacted more by your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to get straight into it today, and it'll be on the screen. Otherwise, you can turn with me. We're going to jump into the letter from Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. And this is the passage which starts with an encouragement to wives first, and then it doubles down with an encouragement to husbands, and then it culminates it all with an encouragement to all of us as Christians. And it says this, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do. And he will grant you his blessing, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life, and see many happy days. Who wants that? Who's to enjoy life and see many happy days? Well, here's the answer. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. If you're at Summit, I got to preach that message, Bless equals Jesus. It's who he is. We see it from the foundation, pre-foundation, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, representing Christ dying on the cross for us. We see bless starting in Genesis. We see Christ coming and doing it for us in the Gospels. And we even see it all the way through to the revelation that he gave John. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is bless. That's who he is. It's what he has done for us. And so Jesus blessed, and so must we. I defined bless like this in my last sermon. Have a look at this. Bless. To bless is to partner with God in releasing his goodness into someone's life with our words, our hands, and our hearts. To release his goodness into someone's life. Bless. How blessing works for us is up to us. We can stop it or we can allow it to flow. We can contain it or we can carry it and release it. Our words, tone, our relational posture is paramount in the expression of our blessing. We can bless because we should. We can bless because we have to. We can even bless because it's the right thing to do. But I want to put to us this morning, church, that we need to bless because that's who we are. Yeah. It's what we're meant to do. We can bless because of the reward, or we can bless because that's what Jesus did. It's not just moral advice that Peter is giving us. It's kingdom. It's a kingdom principle. Words of blessing open a spiritual flow. What are some of the ways that we can bless? Have a think about some of the ways that you bless. Have a think about the ways that we can bless as individuals, even as a corporate group of people, as humanity. We can help people. We can be generous. We can pray for people. We can just show up. Even just showing up for someone. Come on, that's a big blessing. We can be inclusive. None of these need cost much, do they? It's not a ministry of finance that you and I are called to. No, it's a ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry of salvation. You know, the most simplest way that I think that we can bless is with our lips. The words we say. And we're going to dive really deep into this today. But let's just start with a thought. Maybe when we notice someone and we look up in the lift or we see someone around us, smile. Just smile. Imagine what a smile could do as you notice someone. Maybe they're having the most awful of days. And just a friendly, smiling human being, a smile with your lips could bless. Say something that builds, something that leaves them better than they were before they encountered you. Say something that uplifts, something that encourages. Speak life over your kids. Speak life over your spouse. And let's build a daily habit of speaking like this to build up and not to pull down. What we do says a lot. You know, as they say, you know, we can't just talk the talk. We got to walk the talk. So what we do says a lot, but what we say also says a lot. Let me give you an encouragement. To bless is to bring the goodness of God into someone's moment. So you think about that. To bless is to bring the goodness of God into someone's moment. That's a real blessing. Through what you say, what you do, also what you choose not to do. We are called to bless with our lips. Judas, he betrayed with his lips, even with a kiss. But you and I are called to bless with our lips. The power of our words, it's a biblical thread. We see it Old Testament, New Testament, we see it through the gospel story. There is a lot of power in our words. Think of the moments in the Old Testament like the Red Sea was parted because of a statement, like a man named Joshua told the sun to stand still. He prayed, he spoke a declaration and the sun literally stood still. Like Jesus calls dead people to life, Lazarus come out, even to those beautiful words, three words on the cross, Father, forgive them. Words are very, very powerful. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. James chapter 3, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings. This should not be. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. So, I'm going to define bless again, and I'm going to go a little bit deeper with it this time as well for those of you that weren't there at Summit. And check this out, bless, eulogio, literally to speak well or to say a good word over. That's bless. Blessing in the Greek isn't just to wish someone well. It's to speak life-filled, grace-filled words that release God's favor and reflect his heart. It's verbal generosity. That's what bless is. It's so simple, yet it's so deep. It's like Pastor Andrew Stone's message last week, do not worry. Three simple words, but wow, the depth of what that really means and what it can release in us and release us from. And it's the same with bless. There is depth to the meaning of these words. Let's have a look at what curse means. To define curse, it's even a curse to have to try and pronounce this word. Katara omai. There we are. Literally, to speak down against or to call harm upon. To curse is speaking against someone's well-being or dignity, gossip, slander, judgmental talk, or even, check this out, even hopeless talk, they'll never change. It's a curse. Think about it like this. Is it building up or is it tearing down? Have a look at this next slide. To bless or to curse. To bless is to speak as God would speak about someone. Ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus say? To curse is to speak words that pull someone down rather than lift them up toward God's best. Think about it like this. Is this a down thought or is this an up thought? Am I about to make a down statement or an up statement? You know, every time we open our mouth, we have the choice to either echo heaven or to echo hell. Words will either lift or tear down. You know, the Gospels in the New Testament were written in Greek. This is really important. I loved studying this. This is profound. And to be specific, Koine Greek. And this is why, because the common trade and the literary language of the Roman Empire at that stage was Koine Greek. And so it wasn't what Jesus spoke in. The Old Testament, Hebrew, Jesus spoke, as we know, in Aramaic. And there's even a couple of statements recorded in our Bibles of word-for-word quotes of what Jesus said in Aramaic, even one on the cross, for example. But the boys took the heart of what Jesus was saying in Aramaic and wrote it in the Greek. Why? Well, we read that scriptures tell us at just the right time Christ came. There was never a better time for the words of Jesus to be able to take in the good news of Jesus to be able to be taken to the whole world because of the Roman Empire, a road network like the world had never seen before at just the right time. Jesus came. It was perfect for the words, for the message. And so it was written in the language that was going to spread far and wide. You know, I know this concept seems simple. Bless. God bless you. You know, maybe for you it's a statement that you make when someone sneezes, oh, bless you. Or maybe to your Christian buddies by email, you know, love and God bless. Joe. But it's so much more. There is depth and there is meaning and there is a posture in this. The Aramaic word for bless, barak, and for curse, lakan or kalel, both carry relational and heart-based dimensions. Not just speech, but the spirit behind the words. When Jesus spoke bless, he was speaking life in the people's heart language. And so we see that continue through what we read in Greek. Peter's words to us literally ties life and blessing directly to speech discipline. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. He points us to a biblical principle. We see this is a direct quote out of Psalm chapter 34, and we see Peter showing us that even from the Psalms, from the Old Testament, through the example of Jesus in the Gospels, into the New Testament, the letter that he was writing here, not just to the people of that time, but to us now, the depth, how we speak determines what atmosphere we will live under. I actually did take the time this time to make a linear slide for all of those people that like that stuff. Check this out. Look at that. There we are. The flow of Peter's logic and the cycle of grace. So, step one, let's have a look at the commands and the results. Don't repay insult with insult. The result, we break the cycle of evil. Two, instead bless. The result of that aligns us with our calling. Number three, then you will inherit the blessing. This is the consequence of the reward of following this command. Receive divine favor. Guard your tongue. The result sustains that blessing. Fifth, seek peace and pursue it, Peter said. This keeps heaven's ears open. You know, there's about three times I can remember where Jesus teaches us in Scripture the things that can block our prayers. In the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us that unforgiveness can block the answer to prayers. So the husbands, it's if we're not treating our wives the way we should be, heaven's ears start to close and God doesn't answer our prayers. And here it says, and his ears are open to their prayers as we turn away from evil and do good, as we search for peace and work to maintain it. Peter wasn't writing to Christians with these statements who were living it easy. No. The context of this moment where Peter is writing, he was writing to believers scattered under persecution. People being spoken against, insulted, misrepresented. What Peter is putting to us is not just relational etiquette, it's missional discipleship. This is stuff that changes the world around us. This is how to respond to the hostile world that we live in. And there's a kingdom tone that you and I are called to. Let's have a look at the contrast. Got another table for us this morning. Blessing or cursing? The source of blessing flows from humility and compassion. Cursing flows from pride and retaliation. The sound of blessing is speaking life and honor, grace. The sound of cursing speaks harm, insult, deceit. Sometimes the yucky stuff lurking within, we think the thoughts. The spirit of blessing echoes Christ's voice. The spirit of cursing echoes the world's tone. And we know who the ruler of the world is, don't we? The result? Well, the good stuff. For blessing, an inheritance of blessing. And that's good stuff because it's not just for now, it's for all time to come as well. But the result of cursing is hindrance of prayer. See, Peter's appeal to us, church, isn't to be polite. It's not to be politically correct. It's to speak as citizens of heaven. Come on, we're from another place. There's a sound that heaven carries. There's a sound that Jesus carries. There's a culture that transcends this world. It's the heaven culture. There's a language that transcends the language of our languages of this earth. And it's the Jesus language. And we see Jesus show it to us in the way in the Gospels. And it's for you and I to pick up and to apply to our lives. There's natural talk and there's spirit-led speech. Our words will either reinforce the world's tone or reflect the tone of heaven. See, our words prove from which kingdom we are drawing from. We start with a heart of posture of unity, empathy, sympathy, brotherly love, tender-hearted, and humble-mindedness. Peter said, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. Seems like a lot to remember in the heat of the moment, doesn't it? It's like the kids are going crazy or, you know, it gets a little bit heated in the bedroom and not the good stuff, or maybe it's really heated at work or whatever's going on, whatever's going down in your life. And you're like, man, what am I supposed to do in these moments? Can I just boil it down to four little letters? What would Jesus say? Man, I've got to be all of this so that I don't get my prayers hindered by God. Just think. Just pause. Sometimes one of the most powerful things that we can do. Stop. Just pause. What would Jesus say? You know, our part to play in expanding the kingdom of heaven is where we come in and, you know, blessing is easy when it's easy. But the mark of a Christian is blessing when it's hard. When we shouldn't have to. When something's not right. When we don't want to. When something's been done against us. Like it's just outright wrong. Well, this is where Jesus calls us to another way. You know, if anyone went close to being an enemy of Jesus, it was probably the religious leaders. And we see the beauty of his love in a powerful story. I want to read it to us today. It's from John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. It's when the woman was caught in adultery, thrown at the feet of Jesus. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple, and a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Man, I love this moment. This is brilliant. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one of you who has never sinned throw the first stone. And he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. And then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. This wasn't a scene of justice being sought. This was a scene that was premeditated because early in the morning, Jesus comes back into the temple and they've got a plan. They're ready to trap Jesus. They've found a woman and they are using her, weaponizing words to try and trap Jesus. It's disgusting. They throw her at the feet of Jesus and I love the response of Jesus. He doesn't react. He responds. And it's brilliant. A no-win scenario becomes a win-win. And I love it. He doesn't even shame the accusers. You see, I love it. He stoops back down and draws in the dirt again. And off they walk away. And then he stands up and he ministers to the woman. Where are your accusers? These powerful, powerful words. This whole story is a story of words. The actions of words that this shows us. It started with words. Words were carried out in the middle and it finished with words. And the power of the words, neither do I condemn you. Just go and sin no more. You see, his silence brought peace. His words to the accusers brought conviction and his words to the woman brought mercy and hope. You think about it, there was one there who could have thrown the stone. There was one there who had never sinned before. But I love the judgment that he chose to pass. He covered her. But he set her free with his words, go and sin no more. Freedom. It's incredible. No, blessing speech doesn't ignore sin. It introduces grace that leads us out of it. How do we speak or not speak in a way that moves people towards God's heart? It's a blessing when you don't want to. It's not easy. Paul encourages us in Romans 12, verse 14, in the living sacrificial lifestyle that you and I are called to bless those who curse you and to do good to those who harm you, to pray a blessing over them. And it stems from Jesus' teaching in the way. As he calls us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and we see it in Luke chapter 6, a moment in the Sermon on the Mount. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. In Matthew's account, we're blessed with the why. Blessed because it reveals the Father's perfect love. They were the words of Jesus. In Luke, we're blessed with the how. Blessed through tangible mercy and generous action. The context of the passage as Peter writes, these people that are being scattered all over, these Jews that had become Christians being scattered all over, these Christians that had given their life to Jesus, these Gentiles that were coming into relationship with Jesus, persecution, great persecution had come. And these were the words that Peter wrote to a people under persecution being scattered. Bless them. Pray for them. Do good to them. You know, let alone blessing those that it's easy to bless, but blessing even our enemies, that is a calling. I can summarize it like this. Have a look at this next slide. To love and bless as Jesus taught is to mirror the Father's heart, extending mercy, prayer, and goodness even toward those who oppose us, revealing a mature, perfect love that gives without expecting and blesses without condition. You think about Jesus, he shows us in how he blesses in the Gospels, in all of the things that he does, and he teaches them and he reveals the truth to them and he shows them a better way to live, and he looks after their practical needs and he feeds them and he gives them healing, moved with compassion. All of this wrapped up the synergy of the teaching of Jesus, showing them the other way, preaching the good news, helping their practical needs in feeding them, and bringing them salvation, miracles, life, and life abundant, all the way through to the cross, where he still blesses, despite even in a moment of suffering, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing as he was there crucified and pinned to a cross. I think Jesus wraps it up beautifully for us in his call. This one statement, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. It's the golden rule. Have a look at this scripture. This is what it says. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. I love that. Wrapping up almost the entire Old Testament teaching into one statement. Blessing like this is a revelation. It reveals that we know who we are, that our identity is secure in Christ, and that we come from another place. Come on, it's that culture that transcends. Bless those around you. Have a look at this, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. Therefore, wherever we have the opportunity, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. That means everyone. There's no way around that. Especially those in the family of faith. What does it say? Our love for one another will prove to the world. Come on, don't determine your treatment of others based on how they treat you. Determine your treatment on others based on how Christ has treated you. You know, for the woman who was caught in adultery, can you imagine what she was going through in that moment? Imagine the shame, imagine the pain, imagine her heart. Public humiliation, an unfair, unjust moment, a moment of abuse. Yet Jesus turns the whole situation around. But imagine what she was thinking. Oh man, not in front of Jesus. Oh, now everyone else knows. Man, how did this happen? How did I get here? Man, what has my life become? You know, sometimes the most powerful words are not the words that are spoken, but the words that are unspoken. The battlefield in the mind. It's where the enemy is really good at playing games with all of us. And those words are powerful. They carry a whole lot of power. We can think life over ourselves, or we can think death. We can think life over others, or we can think death. How did Jesus put it? He said, even if you hate your brother in your heart, you have committed murder. And murder doesn't come from Jesus. Murder comes from Satan. You don't want to foster or harbor that kind of thought. As Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Church, if Jesus hung on the cross for you, he blessed you. Loves you. He cares about you. He knows you can't do it without him. That's why we have the cross. It's the blood of Jesus. Come on. That is how we are made righteous, holy, pure. Come on. That is who we are. And it's because of him. You know, we need to fill our mind with the good thoughts. We fill our mind with light and hope. We fill our mind with truth. We build ourselves up. And it helps us to build others up. Hallowed be your name. Come on, we remind ourselves of who our God is and how far he has come for us. When we fill our mind with thoughts, words, the truth, what it begins to do is it begins to expel the darkness out. The battlefield of the mind starts to come into submission because everything bows to the name of Jesus. And so we start to declare his words of truth over our lives. Depression and darkness and lies and doubt, the tools of fear of the enemy. We need to speak the words of truth over our mind. We fill our mind. We force it in if we have to. Because what it does is it pushes all of the other stuff out. We bless. We receive the blessing and we bless. We bless because we are blessed. You and I have the ability to create a blessing atmosphere. Can I have the band join me, please? To bless isn't just to say nice things. Blessing creates an atmosphere of grace wherever you go. Your tone, words, silence, it can all bless. You think about it, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives inside of you. You carry the power. Your thoughts can literally change an atmosphere. Because out of the heart, that's where the abundance of the mouth speaks and flows from. And so if you're thinking awful thoughts about the person around you, you're creating an atmosphere that is not healthy or good, not for them and not for you. But if you are thinking good thoughts of those people, you can pray in your mind, you can think in your mind, you can talk in your mind. Come on, we all do it. You have the ability to create an atmosphere of bless. Even withholding certain words can create an atmosphere. Not gossiping, not biting back is an act of blessing. Just because you don't say something doesn't mean your thoughts aren't impacting. Someone cuts you off in traffic with a little Alaska in the back seat. Much conviction comes over me. What will you say? What will you think when someone does something wrong to you? An injustice. God bless them. They must be having a really bad day. Or maybe they're just on the way to the hospital and they need to get there really fast. Or maybe they're late for an appointment and they'll lose their job if they don't. And they were held up at the petrol station because the old lady in front of them needed help. And then the line to pay just happened to be extra longer than normal. They counted for traffic, but not this much. And it's their last chance because they always seem to be stuck in traffic. And despite leaving earlier, would simply fix all their issues. I mean, how early is too early to leave when there's so much to do and so little time? And they're just trying to earn a living because everything is so expensive and their wages haven't gone up in proportion. And so they're super stressed. And then you happen to be driving just 1 kilometer too slow in front of them. So they've weaved their way in a second position and you're the last car to help them get in front despite the fact that they're about to get stopped with the red light up ahead anyway. So really, what was the point of all of this? To just be one car in front of you instead of one behind you when we're not doing 0 kilometers anyway? Bless. Or maybe they're just being tormented by the devil. This is the only type of behavior they know. Compassion. Someone laughs at you. And others around, join in. Laugh. And not, not that type of laugh. Just laugh. Or my favorite, smile and wave. And shout him a coffee at morning tea. Come on, do good to those. Pay them back with a blessing. It's awesome. It's so much more fun. It's so freeing. It's so atmosphere changing. Creating a moment of heaven. Things can take place. Just remember, hurtful things are said from a hurting heart. You don't have to accept it. Live as a blessing atmosphere. Encouragement, prayer, affirmation, silence, mercy, forgiveness, empathy, listening, peace. Come on, would you stand to your feet this morning as we close? Church, bless is our calling. It's who Jesus is. It's who we're meant to be. Bless. And you know what bless can do? As you create an atmosphere with your words and your thoughts over yourself and over your family, over your home, over the place where you work, you know what can happen? Miracles can be unlocked. Because every time Jesus walked into a moment, into a situation, miracles took place. Bless leads to miracles. Creating an atmosphere around you of heaven leads to miracles. It just happens. Come on, you can pray a prayer and you can lay a hand and you can see people healed. You can speak life over someone and see someone who is struggling with something that the enemy is holding over them be completely undone by bless. It's your calling. It's who you are. Look at Jesus. Every moment he walked into, every town he went to, every place he visited, he'd look after them, he'd hang out with them, he'd dine with them, he'd feed with them. He was their friend. He'd build them up. He taught them a way to live. He showed them the better way. And then he'd pray and teach and heal, and miracles would start to take place. As you and I bless, as you and I create an atmosphere around us of bless, you can begin to believe for the miracles. Come on, you can ask God and see God come through because his ears are open to those who bless. He hears the prayers of those who bless. And we're going to do it today. We're going to lay a hand on our body and we're going to ask God to heal us. Maybe there's something going on in your body. A sickness, a disease, an issue, something in your mind, something in your heart, something in your body. Maybe you can lay a hand on yourself today on behalf of someone in your home, someone in your family that needs a miracle. God can do it and he can do it through you. And as we bless the holy name of Jesus and we recognize that we are blessed and the cross proves that we are blessed. And so we can pray and we can say the truth of the word of God over our lives and we can see a miracle take place. The power of life and death are in your tongue. Bless. And we're going to pray for those around us today to bless. So come on, would you close your eyes this morning? Come on, Jesus blessed with his words. He blessed with his actions. He even blessed in his suffering as he hung there on the cross. Father, forgive them. Bless. So Heavenly Father, this morning, right now, we lay a hand on our body. God, if there is a need within right now, we pray, Lord, the words that you have given us, the truth, that by your stripes we are healed. So we declare that right now. Come on, why don't you just pray over any part of your body? Just put a hand on your head, or maybe even you know your spouse or someone in your family needs healing right now. Would you lay a hand on them? And in Jesus' name, God, we take the authority of your word. Lord, because of you, your brokenness, we have been made whole. Mind, body, soul, spirit. And God, we declare that right now. Healed in Jesus' name. Healed in Jesus' name, set free right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we come against any dark thoughts, any depression, any lies or doubts that come against us from the pit of hell, and we rebuke them right now in the name of Jesus. God, we declare we are children of the Most High. Lord, we have been made the righteousness of Christ because of you, Lord, and your blood, it washes us. Lord, we plead your blood right now. Over our lives, over our homes, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God, right now we just declare your goodness over our home. God, we declare your goodness over our families. God, we choose to bless over our workplace. We bless our bosses. We bless our work colleagues. God, we bless those who live around us. God, we bless those who go before us. We bless those that come behind us in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you lead us to bless? Would you remind us in the moments, what would Jesus say? Holy Spirit, would you prompt us to bless, to not react, but to pause and to respond in Jesus' name. Lord, would you help us to bless like you blessed? In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Church, when you get it wrong, apologize. And then bless. Because some of the most powerful words that you and I can speak is to say, I'm sorry. And then bless. If you don't bless, if you react in a moment, apologize. And then bless. If you've been treating someone, remember everyone, especially those in the faith, make it right. Apologize. And bless. Come on, freedom. Walk in freedom. Live in freedom. Let love and joy and hope. Come on, the fun of blessing. Just see where it takes you this week. Even this afternoon in thought life, in action. Come on, this week, wherever you go, bless. Bless. Speak blessing. Do blessing. See what happens. See what opportunities unfold. Maybe you will create an atmosphere where you can pray and a miracle will take place. Come on, we're the Church of Jesus Christ. We got the good news. Bless. It's your calling. Bless. Amen. 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 Come on.